This evening I will speak on a verse from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that was often quoted by Srila Prabhupada, and is a well-known verse, is quoted by all Gauriya preachers or speakers. It goes as follows. This verse is spoken by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Asat Sangha Tiag E Vaishnavacha Sri Shangi Eka Sadhu Krishna Bhakta A. Which means that the typical behavior of a Vaishnava, a devotee of Vishnu, is, or the characteristic is that he gives up bad association. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defines what is that bad association. One is stri sangi, one who associates with women, and the other is a non-devotee of Krishna. Now, this statement might seem to condemn the whole class of women. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to save all the jivas in the universe, not only male humans. So this should be understood in context. Now, it is a fact that within Shastra, or the corpus of Vedic knowledge, there are many statements to the effect that one should, or one who desires the highest good, the highest perfection, should give up association with women. Or various words are used. Stri, Mahila, Nari, there are so many different words for woman. Particularly this word is often used, stri, which comes from the same Sanskrit root as the word vistar, which means that which is expanded, or that which expands. So this idea of expansion, materially expanding, dreams, ambitions, and practical property, practical goods, that is suggested, or an indication of that is given in the verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Rishabdev, who was instructing his sons, stated, this is another verse often quoted by Srila Prabhupada, Pungsastriya Mituni Bhavametam Tayoraho Hridaya Grantimahu Ato Griha Kshetra Sutapta Vitaya Janasya Moho Yamahamameti. How many of you have heard this verse? Yeah, if you listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures and read his books, you'll find this is quoted many times. It's one of those harsh truths of the material world which generally people don't like to hear very much. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease. These are truths. Truths means it's unavoidable fact of the material world which people don't like to hear, but we have to hear if we are to become detached from it. And if we don't become detached from it, then we cannot become attached to Krishna. So the verse, this verse, Pungsastriya Mituni Bhavameta. The attraction, Srila Prabhupada translates this as, the attraction between male and female is the basis of material existence. And when they join together, then a hard knot in the heart is formed. Then, ato griha kshetra, so there's this idea of vista, expanding. That from the attachment to wife comes a further attachment to home, one's own personal property, or one's own country, janani janma bhumishcha. What is that? Swargam eva gariyasi. This saying is there. It's not a transcendental saying. It's a very materialistic saying. That my mother, nowadays people don't care for their mother, but in civilized cultures they do. The mother and the motherland, the land of birth, I consider more glorious than heaven. So, ato griha kshetra, then children, particularly sons, relatives, friends, and money. So in this way, because of entanglement in family life, one becomes more and more embroiled or entangled in the concept of I, me, and mine, which is illusion. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, asat sangati age vaishnavacha, that a devotee gives up bad association means that which will entangle us in this material world. And first of all he said that stri sangi, one who is attached to woman, is one kind of bad association. Now, at the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is this a condemnation of all women and a condemnation of all, everyone in the world except a renunciant? In the Shankara Sampradaya, that coming from Shankara Acharya, there are many people who claim themselves to be followers of Shankara. But those who are actually, his followers, he would make them into sannyasis, because his idea was that unless you renounce the world, then you can't become detached from it. You can't make spiritual advancement unless you completely renounce the world. And of course, in those days in India, you could only become a sannyasi if you were from Brahmana caste. So he didn't actually have that many direct followers, although they were quite powerful. But he didn't recommend that everyone immediately come to that stage, but for those who are less able to do so, he recommended that they follow the regular Vedic injunctions of Varnashram Dharma. So this idea is quite prominent in India, that if anyone's going to take up spiritual life, immediately they have to take sannyas. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say that. And many of his followers were married persons. And he didn't... Some of those who were married, they did leave home. But mostly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't insist on that, and he didn't... He didn't promote that one is necessarily better because of one's position within society. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu famously said, at least Srila Prabhupada quoted this many times, that kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kene noi che krishna tatta veta shi guru hoi, that whether one is a Brahmana, whether one is a sannyasi, or whether one is even a shudra from the lowest stratum within Varnashram society, if one knows the science of Krishna, then he can become a guru. So implicit in this, the point is that knowledge of Krishna qualifies one as a guru, not any particular situation within society. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, jaha hoite krishna bhakti she guru hoi, from whomever one receives krishna bhakti, devotion to Krishna, such a person is a guru or can be a guru. So there are many such statements. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, among his intimate followers, one of the very most intimate, was Ramananda Rai, who apparently was a very rich person. He was the governor of an area of South India, and he left those duties to live with, to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the king, who was also a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, gave him a retirement with a full pension, so he was a rich man, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never told him to give that up. Now, Srila Prabhupada actually asked his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that how is it that some of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Rupa Goswami, they they left everything. They left home, family, wife, and all these to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whereas others like Ramananda didn't. They remained in that situation. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that, well, whatever is best for serving, that one will do. If it's better for serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then one should renounce home. If it's not better, then one shouldn't. That is the consideration. The main point is not to renounce or not to renounce. The main point is how Krishna can best be served. That is the actual goal of life. So we find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had many, many associates. Actually, most of them were within family life, and there was no discrimination that one is better than another due to being within family life or not within family life. But at the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by saying that a stree sanghi, one who is attached to stree, they are non-devotee. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed this out. So stree means one who expands. So when one has a wife, then naturally things expand. Children, then you need a place, and you need so many household appliances and so many things. So if one becomes attached to these, as people generally do, that is entanglement in material life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung many songs expressing how he became entangled in material life. Although we know that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a great devotee of Krishna. He's a pure devotee of Krishna, but he's expressing that I became entangled in so many ways. One of the greatest devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Srivas Thakur. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas. So Srivas was a married man. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would every night perform kirtan in Srivas's house. After returning from Gaya, after taking initiation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at home before accepting sannyas. And he would, every night, he would perform kirtan all night in Srivas Thakur's home. Once, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has also described this incident in his in a series of songs. It's also described in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Once, while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing kirtan at night in the inner chamber, because women would not live with men, they would live in a separate part of the house, the inner chamber, there was some crying, and Srivas Thakur, his son, had died. suddenly, unexpectedly. So the kirtan was going on, but Srivas became aware of this, and he went inside and found out what had gone on. And his reaction, you have to understand this in context, that unlike in America where people they throw their children out of the house at age 18 latest. I've looked after you enough, get out, look after yourself. That in India, and especially in former times, that now India is becoming like the West in all ways, and it's not an improvement in any way. People are very much attached to their children, especially to sons. So when Srivas got the news, he became very upset. Why did he become upset? He told all the women, "Stop crying. You'll disturb Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan." Said, "If you don't all stop crying, I'm going to go and drown myself in the Ganga right now." But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he stopped the kirtan and said, because he's Antaryami, the indweller within everyone's heart. So he himself stopped the kirtan and said, "What's going on? I don't feel the usual ecstasy. There seems to be some disturbance. Srivas, anything happened here?" Srivas said, "Yeah, what happened? My son died." "But anyway, you go on. You go on with your kirtan." So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the place where the dead body was and revived that boy. Wait a minute, the story's not finished yet. And then the boy started speaking. He was just a baby, but he hadn't spoken. He started speaking and said that, I've been revolving in the cycle of birth and death, and due to my past activities, I was able to take birth in this house and have the darshan of you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now that is my..." He spoke as a self-realized soul. And then again, left. So he just came. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revived him long enough to speak words of wisdom for everyone's edification. Then again he left. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with Srivas for his attitude that he said that, "Well, you lost one son today, but now..." Because he was quite an older man, he said that, "But you'll get two." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Myself and Nityananda will become your two sons." So lost one and got two. So this is the level of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're on such an exalted level that although within family life they're fully attached to Krishna, they're fully attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So for them, family life is not any obstruction to advancement in Krishna consciousness. Their wives are three. They're expanding, but not so much expanding the family life as expanding the Krishna consciousness. If a wife is like that, then such a wife is certainly a great help in Krishna consciousness. But one who is who associates with a wife for the sake of material enjoyment, someone who has no interest in Krishna consciousness but is simply concerned with enjoying this material world, such association is most detrimental to one's spiritual advancement. So persons who take to Krishna consciousness within family life, they are supposed to understand all these principles, and even within family life, cultivate detachment from this world. Now, what does that detachment mean? That detachment means that one should regularly hear and understand the actual facts of existence in this world. That janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha, this material world is miserable. There's birth, death, old age and disease. So you may have a nice family, nice house, so many nice things, but these are all temporary. These are not of any real value or any real meaning. They will just exist for a short time. So one should not be attached to these things. But on the other hand, those who are in family life, they should also not exhibit what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Markata Vairagya, which literally means monkey detachment. It literally means that. A monkey is in many ways similar to a human being, but one thing a monkey doesn't have, may have many wives, not wives, but they don't have wives, there's no wedding ceremony, many girlfriends, and no responsibility. But he appears to be very detached. But what is that detachment? The kind of detachment where one doesn't care for anything in this world, not because of a higher principle, not because of attachment to Krishna, but just because he's a useless bum. That kind of detachment is that it doesn't take any responsibility, either materially or spiritually. That kind of detachment, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called that monkey renunciation. So he warned Raghunath Das against that. Raghunath Das, who later was to exhibit among all the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the highest standard of renunciation. So all these points should be understood very carefully, not to become entangled in this world. But at the same time, not this idea that one should, this Shankaracharya's idea that you cannot make any spiritual advancement unless you just leave everything, because Shankaracharya's idea is that this world is false. But well, if it's false, then renouncing it is also false, because there's no meaning to being in any situation in this world. And that's actually what comes, that's how Shankara's philosophy is one of the ways in which it's caused so much damage in the world. It might seem that it's very good, but the idea that this world is false, and then there's no difference between dharma and adharma, right and wrong. That's what it actually comes down to. If you say this world is false, then there's nothing to become detached from. There's no. So we find people who, in the name of, they say, "Yeah, I'm just, everything is all one, and we're just enjoying it. We're enjoying the falseness." There's no need to take any responsibility for anything, because everything's all false, and I'm also enjoying my senses. That's also false, but it's fun false. So that Shankara didn't directly preach that, but that's how it's naturally misinterpreted. That's what it comes to. So, in Krishna consciousness, husband and wife should practice, both should practice detachment from this world while living responsibly within it. Family life is not in and of itself a spiritual arrangement, but then for that matter, sannyas also is not a spiritual arrangement. anything in this material world has no value. But if it's in Krishna consciousness, then only it has value. So the idea of living in this material world to enjoy it, that is particular, the particular symptom of that is through women. And we see that in the modern world, that everything is advertised with, actually it's become less now, maybe because of the feminist movement, it seems to have become less. Everything is advertised with pictures of beautiful women, or just the whole idea of that we should enjoy this world that centers on sexual enjoyment. And the whole society is based on that. Srila Prabhupada would comment, seeing the big skyscrapers and big, this is all just an expansion of sexual desire. To show we are very big, we own so much, everything just to impress women. So in Krishna consciousness, men and women both should understand that we are not men or women. We are all eternal servants of Krishna. But that we are in certain roles and certain bodies, and therefore we have to act according to the duties that go with those roles and those bodies. But in any situation, understanding the temporality of this world and the need to become attached to Krishna, everyone should practice detachment from sense enjoyment. One should not become an enjoyer of this world. There's one anecdote which was told to me by one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, that once he was traveling in a train, and one at this time, when I met his godbrother Srila Prabhupada, he was elderly, he's passed away now, but he, at this time of the anecdote, he was a young boy, maybe in his early 20s, something like that. In India, that's still called a boy. They're not considered to be mature until maybe, what, at least 40 or something. Considered young up until that age. So he was a young boy, and one sannyasi of the Gaurya Math entered the... They were traveling by train, and one sannyasi of the Gaurya Math was in another compartment, and he entered their compartment, came to see the brahmacharis in that compartment. And he saw this devotee, Jyoti Shekhar was his name, and he looked at him and said, "Stri Shanga Korcho, you are associating with women." And he looked around, there was a small train compartment, there were just a few brahmacharis, and no women. He couldn't understand. "What is this? He's telling me that you're associating with women, which for brahmacharis aren't supposed to associate with women." So, then the sannyasi explained, because he was leaning against the seat, that was a kind of sense enjoyment. See how strict they were. I don't think any of us could make it in the Gaurya Math in those days. They wouldn't wear shoes. They didn't. They had some cars, but they generally wouldn't use that. Only if there's some need, they would go barefoot here and there. They're very austere. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very demanding, we might say. So that idea that even the slight, you see, I'm leaning, even the slightest comfort, even bodily comfort, if we indulge in that for the sake of some personal enjoyment, that is an obstruction to our advancement in spiritual life. Just see. Now we may not be that strict. Srila Prabhupada didn't demand that we be so strict like that. But at the same time, we should understand this principle that any desire to enjoy this material world or even to be comfortable within it means that we're going to have to come back into this material world. So, while living in householder life, it's understood not everyone can come immediately to that standard of full detachment. But while living in family life, one should cultivate that understanding that we are only meant for the service of Krishna. Nothing is meant for my enjoyment. So, in the just like we see here in this house, there are pictures of Krishna everywhere. There's a picture of Prabhupada and everything I don't see on the walls. Yeah, but I don't see on the walls. It's good to have in the main room of every house pictures of Srila Prabhupada in every home, every Vaishnava home. You should have a prominent picture of Srila Prabhupada. So this is all to remind us that we are here to serve Krishna. We're not here to imitate materialistic, sensual enjoyers. In other words, Vaishnavas may live in family life. That's completely part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's culture. Although, if there are young men who are enthusiastic to accept that training, we are very enthusiastic also to give that training in Brahmachari life. But whichever situation one may be in, one should cultivate a strong sense of Krishna consciousness. And Vaishnav Grihasthas should not be like, they should be quite distinct from the materialistic enjoyers. Should be quite a different atmosphere in the homes, not of Vaishnavas. This spirit of that we are here to enjoy the world, that should be absent. It's not that one has to sleep on a bed of nails or flagellate yourself. You know what that means, whipping yourself? There's these Shia Muslims do that in one festival, and they whip themselves. So that's not required. One can live relatively comfortably, but one should live for the sake of serving Krishna, and not, just like we see in materialist homes, they fill the house up with all kinds of junk. Their cupboards are just overflowing with, you know, so many games they buy for their kids, which the kids never play, never use, or, you know, 70 pairs of shoes or something. Or how many can you wear? Maybe you need for the summer and winter different shoes and like that. But just this, in America at the present time, there's this idea of accumulating more and more. People accumulate so many clothes, far more things than they need, and people are just buying things, shopping addiction. But a Vaishnava should be intelligent not to be sucked into that. This idea that you have to buy so many things. Keep things simple. Life is better when it's simple. This idea that it's better, the more you get, the better life is. But no, it just becomes more and more complex. So keep life simple. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan, Mridanga Kartal, it's very simple. Very simple. And the whole spirit is very simple. Mridanga Kartal, simple tune, simple mantra. Everything but sublime, very elevated consciousness. Whereas in modern life is the opposite. Simple living and high thinking in Krishna consciousness, and very complex, apparently high living but no thinking of any kind, just not even simple thinking, but just stupidity, just. The whole modern society works on the principle that people are stupid. And they're required to be stupid. To be an upright citizen of the United States of America, it's required that you're stupid. Even if you have a PhD or whatever, you're required to be a consumer, which means that you're stupid. You buy all kinds of things that you don't need, and they advertise all kinds of things that you don't need, and people buy it. Because it's in an advertisement. The advertisement incites their lust and their greed for all kinds of things that you don't need. So devotees should be high thinking, more intelligent. That you get from reading Srila Prabhupada's books. That gives intelligence. The people don't have any intelligence. The schools and colleges, they won't give you any intelligence. They develop a sophisticated sense of sophisticated stupidity, you could say, not actual intelligence. If people were intelligent, then they'd be Krishna conscious. They'd see this material world is simply miserable, and that we should. And even we may not want to say this outside, but even the religious systems that people have, they are really for people of very undeveloped intelligence. These ideas, for instance, that someone ate an apple and that's therefore all the suffering in the world is because someone at some point in time ate an apple. I mean, a lot of people believe this in this country, but it's really, it really doesn't give much credit to God, does it? And then people become atheists. They become atheists in reaction to the really stupid ideas that people have about God. The material world in general and modern society in particular is meant for cultivating ignorance. Maya means illusion, ignorance. And that ignorance is exacerbated by the contact between a male and female for sense enjoyment. Therefore, devotees, they should develop, that's the very meaning of being a devotee, to develop a different consciousness. Krishna consciousness means a different consciousness to that of materialistic consciousness. It's the two kinds of consciousness don't go together. You can't properly be a devotee of Krishna and an enjoyer of this material world. Because enjoyment of this material world, the tendency to do so, is the very tendency that it's opposite of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to understand that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. We are meant for service to Him. We are meant for His enjoyment. Everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. So that spirit should be cultivated. And then one will be safe from the danger which is there in material life and very prominently in household life if one has this spirit that we are here to enjoy. Once, this must have been 1976, I guess, Srila Prabhupada had an interview with Mike Robinson of the London Broadcasting Corporation, which sounds very grand, but it was just some small radio company which probably went out of existence quite soon after that. LBC, I guess, sounds like BBC. So, anyway, that interview is published in The Science of Self-Realization. Prabhupada said to publish that, he said it has 90% of our basic philosophy in there. So one of the first questions of Mike Robinson, I was there when this was, it was an open darshan while he was interviewing Prabhupada. So he asked very good questions. And one of his first questions to Srila Prabhupada was, what is the purpose of life? It's a great question, right? Mostly reporters and journalists, they used to ask Prabhupada questions like, why do you have shaved heads? But he asked good questions. So Prabhupada replied, and I was really surprised at Prabhupada's reply. Prabhupada said, to enjoy. I was surprised. I thought Prabhupada would say the opposite. That to become detached from this material world. Prabhupada said, to enjoy. And then Srila Prabhupada went on to explain that by nature, everyone is happy. The tend to want to be happy is natural. But in our present situation in this material world, we cannot be happy. We're seeking happiness in the wrong place. Therefore, we should find out that place where we can actually be happy, which is at the lotus feet of Krishna, in Krishna's service. So the enjoying spirit, that I shall enjoy, that is antithetical to Krishna consciousness. To understand that we are all meant to serve Krishna, to cooperate together to serve Krishna, that is Vaishnava association, that is conducive to, that is Krishna consciousness. That has to be cultivated. Now, it can be very difficult in the modern world where, or actually at any time, in any time, pretty much in any time, place or circumstance, if anyone wants to be Krishna conscious within this material world, others will discourage. Don't. Or be Krishna conscious, but not too much. That's another common one. So, one can make good, positive, strong advancement in Krishna consciousness in any situation, but one needs to be carefully guided, accept that guidance. We may not like it. If we talk about different pastimes of Krishna, those who are devotionally inclined, they will like it. But they don't always like to hear about these topics, how we have to become free from the desire for sense gratification. They may not like to hear that, but we need to hear that. If we don't hear that, then the tendency is to become again entangled in sense enjoyment. Because we've had that bad habit for many, many lifetimes. And it seems natural to us. Srila Prabhupada sometimes used to quote a Bengali song. It may have been popular in his childhood. What is that now? Chok jodi bhalo lage keno dekhbo na. If I like to see it, then why shouldn't I look? You understand Bengali? If my eye likes it, then why shouldn't I look and see? But that tendency, let me just follow my senses. Then what will happen? Sharira vidyajal jara indriya tahe kal. This body is a network of ignorance, and the senses are the jara indriya, the materialistic senses, the senses attracted to matter. The senses which are attracted to matter, they are like a death knell. Death knell means kala, means time in this context, means death. So the solution is to perform devotional service to Krishna. What is that service? Sarva padhi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. To engage all the senses in the service of Krishna. Tava iccha mate indriya chalana. All the senses, they should be engaged according to Krishna's desire. Knowing oneself to be not of this world. We have no position in this world, no permanent position in this world. To be absorbed in service to Krishna, who is the master of the senses. That example is given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, that transcendentalist should be Padma Patram Ivambasa, like a lotus leaf, which grows in the water, but it remains above the water, and although it's surrounded by water, even if the water touches it, it'll fall down. It won't remain. Water cannot remain. Have you seen the lotus leaf? If you put water, it won't absorb in it. It'll remain completely separate and will roll off. It forms like a round bubble of, in scientific terms, I guess it's like that. I can't remember. It's like that skin around it. It doesn't settle, to put it in simple terms. It doesn't settle on the lotus leaf. So a devotee, he lives in this world, sees everything, hears everything, touches, tastes, but that is his ideal. That no attachment. Be attached to Krishna. So there are some thoughts. Krishna bhakta, the other asat or bad association, is the non-devotee, any kind of non-devotee. So there's one kind of non-devotee who's also not a stri sanghi. He's not a materialist. He's not interested in sense enjoyment directly, and that is, but it's still not a devotee. And that is the impersonalists, who they are apparently detached from this world, but they are not devotees of Krishna. And there may be impersonalists. Of course, Shankara, he made the sampradaya, which is very strongly established in India, the Advaita, so-called Advaita Siddhanta. But in the modern age, so many have come up with similar ideas, but somehow they've managed to convert it back to sense enjoyment. Or in all kinds of strange ways, or sometimes they mix it up with bhakti, so that they'll chant Hare Krishna, possibly, or names of Krishna, but they don't have a clear understanding of Krishna. They have an idea that, well, we're all Krishna. Or even in the Shankara Sampradaya, they were traditionally very strict about all rules and regulations, following dharma. But these neo-Advaitavadis, they have no principles. And some of them smoking ganja. Do you know that word, ganja? Hashish. So we should be very careful. We should know clearly who is a devotee. It's not that anyone who chants Hare Krishna is a devotee. Some people who chant Hare Krishna are actually very envious of Krishna. Shishupal, he was always talking about Krishna, right? He was very envious of Krishna. So we shouldn't naively think that anyone who sings Hare Krishna, they're a proper devotee. Many are very envious. We should avoid and reject their association. To understand all these points, Siddhanta Balya Chitte Na Karaha Alash Eha Hoite Krishna Lage Sura Ramanash. This is very important instruction of Chaitanya Charitamrita. That we should not be lazy in the matter of understanding the proper philosophical understanding of Krishna consciousness, because by doing so, our mind becomes strongly attached to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected his friend from birth and close associate Mukunda Datta, because Mukunda would come with the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chant Hare Krishna, then he'd go off with the Mayavadis, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would reject it. No, nothing. We don't want you. You want to come here and go there? Then go there. Don't come with us. You choose this side or that side. You can't be in both camps. He rejected him. You don't come. Don't come and see me ever again. So then Mukunda inquired from other devotees, when will I get the chance to again? Is this how long is this going to go on for, that I'm rejected for a week or 2 weeks? Mahaprabhu said, after 10 million births you can come and see. Yeah. And Mukunda became very happy, because he thought, at least I'm going to get another chance. You see, he could understand what a severe offense he had made. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing that Mukunda was going to patiently wait so long, he said, all right, you come now, but don't go there. He was very strict about this. So we should be also, if we keep good association, very clear in what our goal is, understand the principles, and then we can make proper advancement in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any questions about this? Yes, please.
Regarding the Adam and Eve and the apple.
Yeah. Well, it's not actually what's stated in the Bible, but that's how it's interpreted. It is no apple, actually, in the Bible. It just says a fruit. And the snake, it just says there's a snake, a talking snake. It doesn't say it's Satan. That's all later interpretation. Yeah, you want to read something?
Very short paragraph from Krishna book.
Yeah.
And then the question will become obvious.
Mm-hmm.
My dear Lord, may I inform you that this boy, this is the story of Balamasa, that this boy, whose name is Bhagadatta, is the son of my son, Balamasa. So this is Balamasa's son. He has been very much affected. Balamasa has been just killed. This has all happened.
Yeah.
Balamasa's father, the grandfather of the boy, speak to this. So this boy has been very much affected by the ghastly situation created by the death of his father, and has become very much confused and afraid. I have therefore brought him to surrender unto your lotus feet. I request your lordship to give shelter to this boy and bless him with your lotus feet. I bring him to you so that he may be relieved of the reactions of all the sinful activities of his father.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Karma can be shared karma. That's also. Simply by associating with sinful people, one becomes sinful. So that's a fact. Actually, this Adam and Eve story, the point there that we can understand from a Vaishnava perspective is to disobey the orders of God and to act for one's own enjoyment separately from Him. That's the point. And yeah, if one associates with sinful people, one becomes sinful. One should actually reject a sinful father, mother, or whatever. This Vibhishana became famous and accepted as a great devotee. He tried so many times to counsel Ravana, you are doing wrong. But Ravana would not accept, and therefore Vibhishana left him. Mandodari, Ravana's first wife, she also counseled him again and again, but she didn't leave him. And she's glorified for that. Oh, you have to teach her. There's a practical point. Teach your children not to step over mridangas. It's all part of Vaishnav culture. Don't step over anything, practically. Yeah. And yeah, you can put it up better than put it on the floor. Yes, please.
Maharaj, there's... I know when I was...
This recorder will pick up all the questions nicely. Huh?
Yeah. When I was going from Brahmacharya to Grihastha, I felt that there was a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
And I felt this actually from other young men. There's confusion between brahmachari and grihastha, and the confusion comes, am I doing the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
And it's only after 20 years now that I understand I did the right thing, because mm-hmm. I have a little grasp of Varnashram Dharma. I know where I'm situated,
mm-hmm.
what makes me happy in Krishna consciousness. But during that point of the confusion time, that void mm-hmm. between brahmacharya and grihastha, there's almost a whiplash effect of am I doing the right thing? And if I'm not doing the right thing, am I sinning? Am I on a path to hell and all this? What is a good read for us within our Shastra, especially within Chaitanya Charitamrita, that we can get an example of?
Well, actually, I have to write my book on family life in Krishna consciousness. I already wrote the notes for it, but it all needs organizing. It's a funny thing that people, they need books. There's so many books to guide in family life and all for materialistic people. They're mostly all based on, they're pretty much all based on foolish ideas of psychology and misconceptions. So people get, by reading these books, people get worse, into a worse situation, because they have wrong ideas. Just like they stress so much on compatibility, for instance. Whereas the Vedic culture, relationship between husband and wife and between anyone and everyone is based on dharma, responsibility. The compatibility means that, we're not getting on, okay, let's split up because we're not compatible. But in dharma, there is no splitting up between husband and wife. It's a very confused society. And even in the Western world, until fairly recently, people were meat eaters and everything, but they got married and they stayed married and they didn't have any major problems as people do today. The modern world is, you must have noticed, people are extremely confused. The culture gives no shelter. There's no shelter within family life, even after one's married. I mean, traditionally the shelter was there, the elders, but nowadays people don't want elders because they're an obstruction to sense enjoyment. The whole family life is based on sense enjoyment, which means it's a disaster from the very beginning, because sense enjoyment means to exploit matter and to exploit others. Whereas again, in dharmic culture, the basis is service to others, responsibility. And even among materialistic people, enjoyment is there, but that's why there's marriage. It's understood to be a solemn vow before God to take responsibility. But now people are like, as Srila Prabhupada often used to say, cats and dogs. So they don't get married, they just live together for some time. So our devotees are also confused by this horrible anti-culture that we live in, because without knowledge of or experience of anything else, we tend to think this is normal and correct. But we should know that marriage in Krishna consciousness is a very different proposition to that of the marriage of materialistic people in the modern age. Very, very different proposition. It's entered into with a completely different premise, that we're here together to serve Krishna, to act for purification, to bring forth children into the world, to train for service to Krishna. So it's a very confusing age, and people tend to be so confused that it may be very difficult for them to accept good guidance even. So it is required that we have spiritual leaders who can guide each other in all ashrams. They guide others in all ashrams. And Srila Prabhupada, one of his major projects which hasn't really, hasn't properly taken place in our movement, is to establish Vaishnava communities where devotees can live simply on the land, which in and of itself creates a whole different culture and approach to life. Even living on the land, people in this country have no idea, because farming is, it's another business. But the idea of living just...
It's another business.
Yeah, they consider it another business. They don't... They maybe don't even believe that you can get all your necessities just by living simply, because people have so many unnecessary necessities in the modern age. Nowadays you can't live without a cell phone, but everything costs money. So then you need to produce, even if you're living on the land, if you don't have all these things, then you have to produce more than just your need. And then to do that you have to work hard, and then you have to get machines, and blah blah blah, and you just get entangled more and more. So as long as we are in this society, our devotees are going to, it's practically inevitable that our devotees are going to be confused, unless they very strongly take to the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna and make a very strong sankalpa, determination, vow to be Krishna conscious. But even then life will be complex. The very nature of life in the modern world is it's complex. Sangsara vishanala, sangsara davanala, these are words are used. The blazing fire or the poison fire of material existence. So, how does that answer your question? Just saying that, well, it's a difficult time, yeah, but then we have to take shelter of the process of Krishna consciousness very strongly. There are different approaches to presenting Krishna consciousness. One is that, okay, just take to it, chant, do whatever you can, and that will help you. And certainly it will help you. Anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness in whatever way, they will certainly be benefited by that. But on the other hand, another approach is, come on, let's get into it really, fully, seriously. Because you can't get the full benefit by the half-hearted approach. Yeyata maang prapadyante tangs tathaiva bhajami aham. Krishna reciprocates as much as we surrender to him. So, Atma Nivedana, fully surrendering ourselves to Krishna, that's the ultimate stage that we have to come to. And we should focus on that and aim to move toward that. At the same time, we should understand that we do have material attachments. And that we, just to try to throw them off, may not be that easy. Therefore it may be required to enter family life. Which means, not for the sake of cultivating material attachments, but for the sake of dovetailing those attachments in Krishna's service. Knowing that if one finds oneself in a situation where by trying to live as a brahmachari, one's mind is excessively agitated, then it's not properly situated. Yeah, some?
My memory serves me, I listened to a lecture of Prabhupada where he speaks about this subject. Shared karma, eat and say neighbors. And my question is the implication of that, that we're sharing karma of our society, our neighbors, and who we're associating with. To get rid of that means to, like Vibhishan, preach to our society, preach to our neighbors.
Yes, that's good. We should preach to others. If we're not, Actually, if we're not preaching against this, then it's what is that? Monam sammati lakshanam. That silence means consent. So we should preach. Yeah, it's a good point. We should preach against that. We may partake, unless we are preaching to uplift others, then by our implied consent, we may be we'll be affected by the by their attitude and their consciousness. We should understand very clearly that without hating all the people around us or simply condemning them, we should know that we're living in a very, very sinful society. This is not how people should live. If one feels comfortable and natural in this modern materialistic society, then he's not properly situated in Krishna consciousness. This apparent comfort of life in middle class American cities, we should know this is acquired at the expense of tremendous violence to jivas and to the earth. It's a sinful society if we're to clearly understand. Yes.
The moment we deal with people outside, the work, school, whatever we do, these are the people that Sri Sangha and
they're all Sri Sangha, yeah. They're not Krishna devotees, that's for sure.
And a lot of times we may not be able to preach to them, but at the same time, to progress in whatever we are trying to do, we have to associate with them in a different way. How do we balance?
How do we balance that? Well, there the answer came. We should preach. Unless we're preaching, we may not be able to, in our work situation, it may not be advisable to preach very directly. But still, if we're associated with people day after day, we should want to try to help them in some way, isn't it? So maybe give them prasadam, or keep a picture of Krishna on your desktop or something, so people let people know you're a devotee, isn't it? And then at some point they may inquire about that. Give them at least try to give them some prasadam, try to help them. If we're followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we're associating with people day in and day out, then surely we should want to try to benefit them. And we can preach to others by maybe not those we're directly, more directly we can preach by going on Harinam Sankirtan, by distributing books, even right there at the temple. There's so many people are coming to the restaurant, there's facility. I mean, just bring them into the temple and show them around. I mean, there's so many things, there's tremendous scope here. And definitely anyone who comes, they know we're Hare Krishnas. There's, you know, they don't have a big hang up about that. So you can invite them into the temple, and definitely after taking prasadam, they're going to be, anyone will be impressed. Even from just like an artistic or aesthetic viewpoint, the temple is very impressive. And then that provides a platform to speak further. So, I mean, there is scope for preaching here. More. So, it's the duty of all followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach the message of Krishna consciousness within everyone's capacity. We should do that. And that will help to keep us free from the bad effects of having to mix with materialistic people. Although, you can bear in mind also, think about it, beginning of activity, first thinking, feeling, and then willing. Think about the Prabhupada's all followers of Srila Prabhupada should be very aware of Srila Prabhupada's very strong desire to establish rural communities of Krishna consciousness. So at least you can be aware of it, think about it, and you never know, something might develop from there. I just talk about it, but from the talking, others are acting. I've been talking about this for years, and now some devotees are associated with me. They're establishing some projects like this because it's a. If we're actually developing in Krishna consciousness, this whole materialistic society definitely will become distasteful to us, isn't it? What do you think? You wrote to me about that, was it? That there is, it's not that everyone has to go to the land. You can live in modern American life, and like I say, we don't hate everyone, or we should see, the whole society is sinful, but our attitude should be to see people as misguided and unfortunate. We don't hate the people. If we hate them, then we can't preach to them, we can't benefit them. So most of us here in the, or most of you here in this room will be spending most of your life within what may be called normal society. We should try to give something back to it. Right? Yes, please.
I have a question about this. My husband and I have been discussing this for a few years, and recently a friend of ours told us that the American Agricultural Department is giving loans, so it became more of a reality that we would transfer to a rural environment.
They're giving loans for what? Setting up ranches?
For agriculture, like farms, any rural development, meaning like small businesses. If somebody wants to start their own farm, if you want to buy a property, if you want to buy a house, they'll give you a loan. So I thought about, we were talking about this, and the only thing that seems like we have like a desperation for pure association, like. And I thought, like, what's going to happen if we go to a rural environment? I already feel, like, so much separation from, like, to, like, really relish pure association. And, like, what's going to happen to us if we go, like, that kind of environment?
Well, Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish rural communities of devotees.
So how do we make that a reality? Because I've seen the devotees that have a... like a home and or a preaching center in a rural environment, it's like very neglected or, you know, just...
No, but rural communities. Yeah. It's not so much recommended that you go alone into the wilderness.
No, not meaning like preaching centers and, you know, like an actual community where there's...
Yeah, a community is itself preaching. If we have a good Vaishnava community, so many people will like to come and see how we're living happily in Krishna consciousness. That in itself is a kind of preaching, isn't it?
There are farms in Southern California where people pay money to go there and dig for these people, work on the ground, in the dirt, and plant stuff for them, and they pay to do that. Yeah. And then, after 3 months, they leave.
This is what my parents do.
They do what?
My parents, they've started now three farm communities.
Vaishnava communities? Vaishnava farm communities.
And they have karmis come. And plant everything, raise everything, toil, dig it up, and then my mother cooks it in opposite. And then there's a yoga retreat on the side.
Yeah, there's plenty of possibility for all this. Prabhupada was way ahead of the times on everything. I don't know, do they have that here, woofing? They have that in Europe? That's a similar thing where people just come and voluntarily work on the land. I saw recently, I was in Scotland, we have some rural community there, and people come and they do like that voluntary work. They don't pay, but they do voluntary work and for some time, and they get prasadam and board. Yeah, they don't pay.
They pay to work.
Yeah, but from coming like that, devotees were telling me several people had become devotees actually.
This is also happening.
Yeah. If you're in that environment, you're growing your food, you're offering it to Krishna, you're content, then people will come to you. Now you're with you. Please listen. You have to look after you. The people will come to you and you can preach to them. Say, look, this land is given by God. Everything's meant for His service. You'll be in a much better position to preach. Anyway, it's something that has to be deliberated upon. It's not something that everyone should jump into immediately.
Father, in the song, he says that the devotees have put a lot of demand on the cow, that the cow has to supply their internet, their cars, their trips to India, and they say, oh, it can't be done. Self-sufficient farms can't be done.
I mentioned that, right? Self-sufficient means we have to cut down on many of the so-called necessities. There may not be trips to India. You may come for pilgrimage to Dallas, to Kalachanji Dham. That was traditionally in India, people, they going on pilgrimage might be once in their life. They go a long distance. Or if they live not too far away, then in the season when there's no growing, then some, not everyone can go, because someone has to stay and look after the cows and everything. Usually the older people, they would walk. Pilgrimage means walking, so it wouldn't be very far unless you're really going for a long trip. So nowadays pilgrimage has become much easier and normal, but traditionally it was not so often done. But then the people who went on pilgrimage, having the opportunity to do that only rarely and going by walking and what benefit they got from the pilgrimage, what meditation. We just take it very normally, fly into Delhi and take a taxi and go to the 5-star air-conditioned Vairagya Mahal. You see, in Vrindavan there's advertisements, 5-star apartments with air conditioning, TV, internet. So yeah, you could maybe come in every so often to Kalachandi Jam and make in the village. You can make a worship of Krishna. That should be there also. Anyway, you can think about it. Like I said, probably most of you won't do this, but you could maybe support others who have the wherewithal and to do it. And the point is, wherever we are, if we are in this modern society also, within this situation, really do our best to be Krishna conscious and to try to bring others to that also. There's tremendous facility here it's very, very presentable, isn't it? It's a good facility for city preaching. So bring others. Bring others. You can just show them around and people will definitely, they'll be impressed. And you can tell them, this is Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can tell them. Why not? That's what they need to hear. So in the Sankirtan movement, it's a group effort. So I can suggest that you all participate more and more in the group effort to let the people of Dallas know who the real boss is over here. Different people are looking for votes, but Krishna doesn't need any votes. He's always superior. You aim for the time when the mayor of Dallas, on coming to office, the first thing he'll have to do is go and bow down before Kalachandji. That day should come. I think we'll finish now. It's getting a little late for all the early risers. Yeah. You really think Acharya is wonderful? What struck you as wonder in particular?
I like the story about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you explained. You have to be one way or the other, material life or spiritual life. You can't be in both places.
All right. Okay.
I have a question about children, Maharaj. How do we raise our children to be humble so that there is no pressure? They don't feel like we are pressurizing them and they're conscious.
Yeah, it's a completely different culture. Huh? The culture makes you non-humble. It's for making humility is seen as a fault. Humility, I don't think, is the word even there in the modern dictionaries? Maybe it's like an archaic, they'll list it as an archaic word or something.
No, it's the word they use is lack of self-esteem.
Yeah, lack of self-esteem. Humility doesn't mean this cringing. Srila Prabhupada was humble, following in the footsteps of Hanuman, attacking the demons. Humility means to serve Krishna. So it's not that you just teach people to be humble. It's all part of the package. All these qualities come together. Let teach the children that we're servants of Krishna. If they understand that, that is humility. This cringing obsequiousness or sycophancy, or in modern American, licking the backside, is that's not humility. Humility means to act in one's position as a servant of Krishna. Do the needful, whatever is required for Krishna's service. But definitely is a challenge raising children in the modern society. We see that Srila Prabhupada's formula was, as the parents are Krishna conscious, then naturally the children will want to follow. Hare Krishna.